Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So his old man, Quackers himself, once accused me of being a shock jock. Grant Cohn is more of a shock jock than I have ever been in my career. He only deals in opinion and outrage that is not based in anything other than his own opinion. He is not a journalist. He's an opinionist. And he doesn't really need access to the team to say the things that he says about the team. And it is very clear that team wants him out of their locker room. I can tell you that Grant Cohn's presence has been an unwelcome presence around the Niners, not because he is a sleuth looking to get to the bottom of the real stories and they're worried about him, is because he's intentionally confrontational. And that's the way that he has played his entire career, because as I said earlier, the apple does not fall far from the tree. Lowell was the biggest sanctimonious douchebag I have ever seen operate, allowed to operate, in the San Francisco media, but at least he kept himself, like, you know, he didn't get emotional in his questions. Like, that was part of his act. Part of Lowell's act was this overly concerned, holier than thou, personally offended by everything, but I'm never going to raise my voice. You're never going to know that you're bothering me. And the son is like a weaponized modern version of that. He's more of a shock jock than he is a journalist. Grant Cohn is the only San Francisco media entity that I've had multiple players and multiple coaches and multiple media guys, and I will even talk about one specifically. Bob Lang. Ray, what'd you think of Bob Lang when he was out here running the Niners press box?
He was okay. I mean, he was a PR guy like every other NFL PR guy, which meant, you know, he wasn't there to help you. But he also didn't actively try to impede you, which is about the most you can hope for.
Yeah, that's about the most you can hope for. And here is a guy who was forged in the media fire, Bob Lang was, in Philadelphia. Just to catch the kids up, Ray, would you agree, and I hope you would, because if you didn't, you'd be wrong, that there is no relationship in sports that is more contentious between media and team or media and athlete than the one that exists in Philadelphia on an almost daily basis?
Probably New York, but Philadelphia is in the team photo.
No doubt. So we have a level of, I understand, media sports contention that Bob Lang was always familiar with. And he used to tell me that there's never been a more confrontational media presence in any ecosphere he's ever worked in than Grant Cohn. When I was doing shows on another station and we'd be down, this is like 9 years ago. Been here a long time. I haven't been here 9 years, but it's we're getting closer. Anyway, there were times when I had an interview set up with a player or two, and then the players would just say, "We're not doing any more media today." And I'd say, "Bob, I drove down here for this. What are you doing? You're killing me, Lang. What are you doing?" On multiple occasions, he came up and just write on the piece of paper next to me the words, "Grant Cohn." I sent Grant an email. This is years ago. I sent him an email. I said, "Look, man, I don't know how you got here. I think your daddy helped you. I got here because I worked hard. Stop making me work even harder to do my job. And you're making it harder on everyone who's down here trying to cover this team because you represent media and you're just a dick. And players who are here long before Eric Armstead, Javon Kinlaw, George Kittle, who have all come out against him and saying, this guy is too much. There was a problem multiple teams ago, multiple locker rooms ago. The only thing that hasn't changed is Grant Cohn. This apparently is a level of media that some people out there crave. Apparently he has a following and he's got a YouTube channel. And after he had his in-person, this is now a moment where you're going to diffuse or light a further fuse to hop into the fire. Instead of realizing my status as an accredited journalist here might be hanging in the peril of this moment. Much like his father, who was a huge, huge self-promoter and narcissist, Grant hops on his YouTube page and has this to say.
I'm not allowed to talk to the players. The players are allowed to talk to us if they want to. Kinlaw walks all the way across the field, walks behind me, and stands over my left shoulder, staring at me, behind me. So I turn and I say, what's up, Mook Dog? And he doesn't say anything. And I say, why are you looking at me like that, Javon? And he said, what are you gonna do about it, you b-? And then he said one more word that I can't say. And then I turned to face him and said, oh, it's like that. And he said, yeah, it's like that. And then he knocked the hat off my head, just like that.
The amount of glee that he is receiving from this moment is palpable. It's even, you could see when Kinlaw and he were going at it back and forth, that there was an element of, geez, do you think only Javon Kinlaw's name is going to trend, or is this going to get my name trending too? Like, you could see the gears grinding in his own head. Is this going to make me more famous? Anything that makes me more famous is therefore good. Second part.
Javon Kinlaw called me a sucker-ass today. You can't say that. So to me, I mean, it was one of the better days of my life. Definitely one of the high points of my career. I'm honored that Javon Kinlaw thinks I'm a sucker-ass bitch. I mean, I've worked so hard throughout my life to attain this status. Thank you, Javon. But I just don't understand why he's so mad. Like, Javon, what are you upset about? Is it the fact that I said you have an 80-year-old knee? Is it the fact that I said that you're a terrible pass rusher and you're just a two-down player? Is it the fact that I said the Niners shouldn't have drafted you and they should have taken Tristan Wirfs instead? Is it the fact that I said that you're unprofessional and immature? It escapes me which of the 100 negative things I've said about Javon Kinlaw the last couple of years moved him to approach me in such a way.
He's giddy. He's giddy about it all. At no point in time is he realizing I'm about to lose access to a team that I supposedly cover. And it's probably going to happen. George Kittle has said, it's crazy to me that someone who's allowed into our building has a mindset and goal to antagonize and irate players with their end game of being this. I thought players and reporters were supposed to work together. Being in this building, let alone in this league, is an opportunity. It's not a right. People really get comfortable typing behind a screen. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but continuing to go after a player habitually seems like someone whose goal isn't to report or write a story. I can't disagree with that. I can't disagree with that.
This is where the Niners probably need to step in and get them both in a room, because this can become a real problem. Not one that interferes with the way the team performs, but it's quiet time till training camp, and there's nothing for them to gain from this by letting it fester. That said, you know, it isn't Grant Cohn's job to make them feel good about themselves, nor is it their job to feel good about him. But if you want to solve a problem rather than exploit it, then you do this privately, one-on-one, where you just sit down, like adults and go, all right, let's hash this out. And if it means a 49er PR guy has to sit in the room and babysit, then maybe that's what it is. My guess is the 49ers actually don't care that much one way or the other. That if they wanted to do something about it, that's the task they would take. And I don't know that they haven't. But, you know, this is one where Kinlaw looks bad on his end. Cone looks bad on his. And nothing's been achieved except that two guys got notoriety for looking silly and stupid.
Yeah, vainglorious segment, if there ever was one.
Yeah, I mean, I just, it's, you know, I don't want to, you know, pick a side because they're both guilty for different reasons. Because I thought the goal here was to figure out where there might be common ground. And if there is none, then basically you say, okay, then don't talk to him. He won't talk to you. And that's that. And then, you know, then you deal with the next problem as it comes up. It's, you know, it's the difference between wanting to solve a problem and wanting to make one bigger and make one more noticeable. And that's the problem that I've got with both those guys.
Well, and look, when there was an actual conversation going back and forth between Kinlaw and Son of Quackers, there was an actual point struck.
You analyzing people like they not human, fam. Like, oh, this dude this, this dude that, this dude this, this dude that. Fam, I understand that's your job, but like, bro, you got to go about this thing a different type of way, bro.
Remember the story you told me one day, Ray, about, I can't remember if you said it was Frank Robinson or Roger Craig, but a Giant manager comes up to you during batting practice one day. Maybe it was Kruger Kipe, I don't know. But basically, you know, you're, I don't want to say new to the beat or anything like that, but you're standing behind the batting cage one day and you're talking about how difficult this is. And somebody says, look, when that guy goes 0-for-4, you can say he had a bad day, but don't say he can't play baseball. Because the fact he's here means he can. And this is obviously a conversation that the father never, ever had with the son, because the dad never understood what it makes to be a real professional athlete in the first place either, which is why he only talked to them through spiteful disrespect. And it's why the son and the apple doesn't fall from the tree. Javon Kinlaw, whether he is a good player or not, whether you think that he is worthy of where he was drafted or not, whether you think he's going to be a Niner a long time or not, whether you think he's got 80-year-old knees or not, you got to show some element of respect that he has climbed to a position that is so hard to even reach, whether you succeed or fail once you're there, that it's amazing that you can claim to be around professional football yet have no respect for what professional football players go through. And you do just want to boil them down to body parts and attributes and talk about them as if they were, you know, end tables.
Well, and that's very much a legitimate point to make.
Hey, and every now and then.
No, don't do that. The point is here, at some point, somebody is going to have to be the adult in the room. And if it's not going to be either of them, it might have to be John Lynch. He might have to just get them both in a room. All right, we're going to settle this, you know, and we're going to stay here until it gets settled. And that's not a general manager's job. But if they don't want this to become a problem for Kinlaw, you know, maybe you interject yourself into it. It wouldn't be the first time that that's happened, either in football or any other sport. It would take a level of creativity that, you know, that I don't think is beyond Lynch's capabilities. But if you're trying to fix this, you're going to have to fix it with an adult in the room who will guide the other two to adulthood. And if you can't fix this, all you say is, all right, stay away from him. He'll stay away from you and be done with it. Because this makes everybody look increasingly bad. And the more that this generates talk, the worse it gets for not only both of them, but for the franchise because they still have a commitment to Kinlaw that if this is going to be a real problem for him, gets in the way of his development.
Somebody says, well, what would you guys do if he hit a hat off of your head? That wouldn't happen to Ray, and it wouldn't happen to me because we wouldn't get there. It's not in the cards. You head that off at the pass before you get to that moment in time. And if you go about trying to cover a team professionally and you're not there to just be a agent provocateur, someone who's there only to scandalize. And I mean, look, I've had three different entities all involved with the 49ers come up to me years ago. I mean, light years before this happened, saying that guy's a problem. That guy's got an agenda that goes far beyond just covering sports. He's trying to get famous for himself. And you hear some of the things that he said. He really does sound like a low rent Nick Wright, who we had on earlier and was fantastic because he's good at what he does. This is Dwight in San Francisco. Dwight, you're on 95.7 The Game. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? I just had a couple comments. I thought you guys touched on a lot of good points. I wanted to address something that Ray was saying about how he was disappointed in both sides. And I agree that neither of the men represented themselves well today. But I think what's not being taken into account is that Javon has been poked and prodded antagonistically by Grant over and over again. And I think you're asking a 20-something-year-old young man, not a kid, he's got kids himself, but he's in his 20s, he's a young man, and you're asking him to show a lot of grace. And I understand he's a professional, but Grant is supposed to be a professional too. And when you see guys from across the organization, and even outside of the organization, I saw Tyree.
You're Canadian, aren't you?
Well.
You said organization. here's the deal, and thank you very much for the call, Dwight. One guy's job is dependent on the other guy, not the other way around. There is no, you feel like it's a symbiotic relationship, but the truth is the journalist needs the subject to cover. And that's where a level of respect for being allowed into the building in the first place has completely escaped him, because it completely escaped the father, too. I mean, Lowell was a huge, huge jackass to everyone who even bothered to come into his ecosphere.
I think you're probably being a little hard on Lowell, but that's a side issue that doesn't really involve. I mean, this is about Grant Cohn and Javon Kinlaw. And if, in fact, Grant Cohn has been that much of a problem for that long, the 49ers have recourse to simply not credentialing him.
I believe they did a few years ago, but his daddy went to war for him. He tried to muster up all the might of the Santa Rosa Press Democrat that he had left behind his fastball to say, you can't do that to my kid.
Lowell's retired now. I don't think he has that kind of throw weight. The 49ers made it. They made a choice, if that's in fact true, they made a choice to not credential him, and then they made the choice to re-credential him. I mean, they're ultimately, one of the things that the NFL is particularly adept at is controlling the message. And they can control it largely through access. And if they think that that Grant Cohn is that big a problem to that many players, you know, it does raise the question, you know, why are you credentialing him at all? And if you are going to credential him, why aren't you, you know, having conversations with him about how you feel he does his business? And if he continues to be unethical about it, then, you know, 49ers do have some, they have the power of the press pass, you know, because they're the ones who hand them out. And it's a bad precedent to set, but if it's that bad, you know, why do they keep butting their heads against the wall? I mean, it seems to me the logical thing is to gather him and Kinlaw together say, we're going to work this out.
But you also now got to bring in Eric Armstead, who is a team captain, and George Kittle, who is a team captain, who have basically said, we know what this guy's about, and we're about done with him.
So, then maybe you do it with them, too. The other option is players simply just don't talk to them anymore because they have that power. You know, there's not a, you know, I need you, you need me sort of relationship in sports between media and an athlete anymore. But there's still a symbiotic one. And if enough people on the team don't want to talk to him, they can do that.
Look, we're going to get back into game 5 that the Warriors have set up for them tomorrow night. No big deal that it's around the corner tomorrow night. I think I said Warriors in 6 when I started predicting this. They can still end this thing in 5. They got to beat the Dallas Mavericks once. And they got 2 home games to do it in and a game in Dallas. So we will get back into that in just a minute. I'm going to take a couple calls, and then we're moving on. By the way, the text line says Willard said the exact same thing about Grant today earlier. Well, he probably had some interviews canceled too when he was down across the street. You know what I mean? Like, that's the way it worked. That guy would piss off the entire roster so much so they'd just decide, yeah, we're not talking to anyone else today in the media. James in Vallejo, real quick. What do you got, James? Everyone's got about 20 seconds here.
Yeah, real quick, guys. And I think you guys have made some real salient points. This is the thing. You fight fire with water. Javon has been working really hard. He's putting his videos on about his rehabilitation. He's a young guy. It's devastating when you've worked that hard to get to the NFL. And Grant has been poking and prodding him. And I actually don't believe that both of them misrepresented themselves, you know, badly, it just in those kind of generic terms. I believe that Grant has been this way his whole time. I've heard about it the whole time. I mean, I coach like little league football, and I hope I never acted like that with my kids or parents where they would say that's my reputation. But for Javon, he has to understand that the best revenge is having a monster year and being dismissive to somebody and not allowing them to gain notoriety on you. And he'll learn that. He's 24 years old. We've all made mistakes when we're 24. I think he'll bounce back. I do hope that they pull Grant's press pass, because feeding the monster only makes it get bigger. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, James. This is Burns in San Bruno. What's going on, Burns?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to comment on just Grant's whole idea of dehumanization, right? And he's completely dehumanizing the players. And I think right now it's a real pivotal moment in our country, especially considering what happened yesterday in Texas and what happens in Buffalo. And I feel like a lot of where Javon is coming from is probably just a cultural sensitivity that Grant is just missing. And honestly, I respect Kinlaw in the sense that he's trying to slay the dragon, you know what I'm saying? And I do want to just shout out the previous caller because he's going about it the wrong way. But yeah, man, revoke that guy's pass. You don't belong here. Thank you.
Burns, thank you very much. And again, I'm not rooting for his credential to be pulled. I hope they can figure it out. I don't think any one person's career should be over. But you better get right. Because I know what right looks like, and that ain't it. That ain't even close to it. This is Ryan in San Jose. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, it's great to be on. You know, I like to give an unbiased perspective. But I was thinking, you know, I've been, you know, scrutinize on, you know, past job performances on any job that I've been on, and, you know, I had to take it. So, you know, why should a person who's making $1 million a year, you know, be exempt from any?
Well, let me ask you, who scrutinized you? Who scrutinized you? Was it your manager or just, you know, some dude?
Either a manager or perhaps a coworker, especially on jobs that, you know, I just stepped on and didn't know that much, obviously. So, you know, that's the way I see it. I mean, I think we all, you know, shouldn't be exempt for any kind of scrutinization. You know, it comes with the smoke of being a professional athlete. At least that's the way I see it. And, you know, I'm not even on Grant Cohn's side, but I believe that, you know, it's a part of being a journalist, you know.
I think when it comes to driving after a real topic, you got to be dogged about it. But an element of respect, which is not part of that man's repertoire, needs to be part of a repertoire to be good at this. I mean, it sounds an awful lot like he was content in having his access cut off to his subject matter. That's not journalism. That's shock jockey. Blake in Lafayette. Real quick, what do you got, Blake?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think this is inflammatory journalism at its finest. If you watch that video closely, he is just kind of slightly and slyly smiling the whole time because he doesn't care. He just wanted this thing to blow up. And I think it's completely wrong for a journalist to poke and prod an athlete like that. You know, if you're going to report on something and you're talking about players, talk about players professionally and, hey, here's what they're doing on the field. Here's things that they're maybe missing, things like that. But I just think he was out of line. That's my take.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you listening. This is Matt. Last call on the topic. What's going on, Matt?
Before you get to the call, Stephanie McCarroll, who covers the team, said that, this is according to Kinlaw anyway, Lynch has reached out, at least to Kinlaw as I understand it, and said that he needed to have a one-on-one with Cohn. So maybe John Lynch is getting specifically involved here.
Well, there you go. You know, bring in a professional to help put a little professionalism into this. This is Matt in Healdsburg. What do you got, Matt, real fast?
Hey, Damon. Yeah, I'm not sure if you remember me, but I actually used to work with you guys over 95.7. So I know a little bit about being in the media, and you're absolutely right. The whole thing is the journalist needs the athlete. It isn't the other way around. And I know this is blasphemous to even bring these two names up, but do you think Howard Cosell would be the journalist that the legend he is without Muhammad Ali? No. So, you know, the thing is, you know, Grant needs to realize, like you were saying, the access is a privilege, and you can't just have all these inflammatory takes and try to go at people and not expect consequences. So I think they should revoke his press pass. I mean, it's access that you're granted. It's just not, you know, you just don't have it forever, and you shouldn't abuse it.
Thank you very much. Someone says, how does he even get a press pass to begin with? Well, his daddy. I mean, his daddy.
Well, no,
really
he worked for reputable media outlets.
That is,
and they asked for them.
Right. Well, his daddy got him the job locally, and then I'm sure he moved to Heaven and Earth, got him a little deal at Sports Illustrated too. Come on,
Lowell Cohn does not have that kind of heat where he could just get him a job at Sports Illustrated.
Oh no, it's the lowest rung on the room job. Be our YouTube guy.
Yeah, but it's still Lowell's not making that call. Grant Cohn got that job. For however you want to define it, that's the point.
Do you think Sports Illustrated is going to have an issue with any of this?
Probably not. They could use the attention. But
yeah,
the bigger picture here is that this all went sideways when it became sort of a video show. That if a player was aggrieved about something, the tradition was always, and Lowell adhered to this as much as anybody, is, okay, let's go talk about it. And you just go off to the side, away from everybody else, and you deal with it like adults.
Right. This guy screams into a, you know, selfie camera doing a immediately. He just, instead of trying to solve a problem, he wants to broadcast that he is now part of a problem so he can be part of the topic. That is not anywhere in the neighborhood of how a professional handles that moment. So there's a lot to be learned.
Yeah, and as far as poking the cage goes, there was never anybody who was better at that than Ira Miller, who was one of Lowell's contemporaries, the Chronicle. And Ira ruffled as many feathers as anybody on any beat ever in this area. But he also knew what he was doing. He also knew where the bodies were buried. He knew he had sources. He had people who talked to him both inside the team and outside it.
He had credibility.
Yeah. And so it's not about being critical. It's about where your line is for criticism. And I think, you know, at least in this case, I mean, I haven't spent a lot of time going over Grant Cohn's, you know, career, but it sounds like in this case, there is a perception that he's gone out of his way to go after Kinlaw. Now, is Kinlaw a big enough?
That's just the latest player, though. I mean, okay. And I can get former 49ers on to tell you that this is just his cause celeb. This is his recent target. There is a new target every year.
Okay, but based on what I've been discerning here, he's made Kinlaw a particular cause. And it's reached the point where other players are stepping in now.
Yeah.
And now John Lynch is involved. So they view it as a significant enough problem that he's getting involved. And frankly, if they still are committed to Kinlaw as a notion, he ought to get involved, you know, and try to settle whatever can be settled here. Even if the only settlement is you guys just don't talk to each other anymore, and then just tell Javon Kinlaw, stop watching, stop listening, stop reading it. Just avoid it. That's what you have to do.
Full on walk away.
Yeah, because that ultimately that's the only real recourse an athlete has. You just, you know what? Make it not matter to you.
Last night, the Golden State Warriors, looking to sweep their way into the NBA Finals, stumbled for the first time in this series. The Dallas Mavericks had someone other than Luka Doncic show up for the first time in this series. And when it was all said and done, the Warriors are going home with a loss for the first time in this series. But things got tight there at the end, to the point where Kerr was even putting starters back in.
If it gets manageable and possible, then let's do it. And felt like we had a shot with, I guess, 3.5 minutes left when we put Steph and Wiggs and Clay in. And I also felt like the group that had played that great run in the fourth quarter, you know, maybe he was getting a little tired there. And so just made the decision to see if we could pull off a miracle, but it wasn't meant to be. Dallas was great tonight. They deserved to win. They executed, they played with more force. And this is the conference finals. This is how it's supposed to be. You got two great teams and, you know, they handled us well tonight.
Steve Kerr chased a win last night, which obviously is one of the famous sentences he regrets ever uttering into the media universe. We're not chasing wins. Well, he went about chasing a win last night. Didn't find it. And I even wonder if he should have, because there is a level of cooling down that happens to players' bodies that you even saw in Luka when he got put back in that game. He got his foot stepped on, then he's grabbing his groin. He might have gotten hit in the boys a little bit. I think he got it in the jewels, too. Maybe that was the groin situation. Well, but it look, you can hurt a guy when he goes and cools down and think. When you start engaging the my night is over muscle, and you tell that to yourself and your preparation and to your body starts listening to that. And to ask a guy, oh, by the way, never mind, back in you go, that can be where injuries occur.
Well, okay, but in fairness, you know, when Kerr put in the near-death experience lineup that he put in to start the fourth quarter, he didn't expect them to close a 29-point deficit to 8.
By the way, do you realize that they missed, what, 9 free throws in that game? Hit your free throws. We got ourselves a fourth quarter.
Well, they're not perfect. But I think, you know, if you're a veteran and all of a sudden you're paying attention to the game,
you want
and
that.
You see you're closing, you know, we're closing this gap, we might have an outside shot at stealing this bugger. Then maybe you start, you know, stretching, getting on the bike that they usually have behind the bench or off to the side and try to prepare for the possibility that you might have to go back in. And, you know, we've talked about how Luke is in much better shape than he was. There was a point last night where he was backpedaling, and they were showing it in slow motion. And he's still pretty jowly. I mean, he's got more shape to get into. And I think that might be a lesson for him come the offseason, is that, you know, you don't have to be so much you. And you did drop 20 or 25 pounds to get to this shape, but there's more to be done. So, yeah, I guess the lesson here is you never expect players 6 through 10 to close a huge gap like that. So if they start to do that, veterans ought to know, you know what? They might need me. I might have to get up and get warm here.
And again, you can't find a lot of moral victories for professional basketball teams, and even fewer can be found in the postseason where win or it doesn't matter. But that was a little bit of a moral victory, I thought, for the Warriors to climb back into a game that they were absolutely on their way out of. And nice job by that second unit. And hopefully that pays off with comfortable role players and rolling just a wave of talent at the Mavericks in Game 5, which means there will be no Game 6. And there will be no Nick Wright joining us before Game 7 tips off. This is Steph Curry talking about, hey, you know, we're back in this game.
It's kind of crazy that we had an opportunity to even think we had a little bit of life. It's credit to those five guys out there that, you know, made that possible, made Dallas, you know, work down the stretch, which in playoff series, all that stuff matters over the course of each game.
Look, there are plenty of things to see that are mistakes as there are attributes right now, and that's what young puppies do. I cannot wait to see what Jonathan Kuminga is, Ray, 2-3 years from now. I can't wait. I mean, the experience that he is getting is just, it's a wonderful experience on this stage at this level of his career. And it's money in the bank, man. It's money in the bank. And I think this kid is going to pay off huge for the Warriors eventually. I really do. I love the way that he has been carefully seasoned throughout the year, selective playoff moments included.
Well, and therein lies a central truth about this team more than any other. Steve Kerr has nurtured those guys, just the way he's nurtured Jordan Poole over 3 years. He has figured out, largely through the mistakes they made with James Wiseman, how to do this and to have them earn their minutes rather than being given them. So if there's a game where Kuminga plays 5 minutes, or a game where he plays not at all, it's not because somebody's trying to stifle his talents. It's because there are games where 5 minutes of him is all you can really deal with. I mean, early on in that game, he was not very good, you know, but they needed him because they've been a little thin. And right now, you're not trying to develop anybody. You're trying to win a basketball game because that's all there is. There is no future right now. There is the right now. And the fact that he played 21 minutes last night and that Moody played 22, you know, time and situation. You know, the game was out of hand early, so they got more run. You know, the only two people who played 30 minutes were Curry and Wiggins, and Curry came back in the fourth quarter when they cut it to 8, and all of a sudden it looks like they might be able to steal this despite all odds. And we've seen other games this year where teams with big leads squandered them. So
like every other game.
Yeah, why wouldn't you believe that cutting something from 29 to 8 shouldn't give you optimism that, hey, maybe we can cheat the Reaper here.
Hey, you do that in the third quarter, you got something to talk about. You're in the dwindling minutes of the fourth quarter, it gets harder and harder to see. But
yeah, well, in the third quarter, they weren't down by 8. They were down by 25.
So. That's a problem. Look, we have no problems wrapping up today's show. Lucas is going to slip on in, and we're going to do something we haven't done in a really long time. How about a little What If Wednesday, where we go over the questions that others are afraid to even dare address? We're brought to you by Lucky California this holiday weekend. We don't have to worry about making do. Lucky California will help you make more of what you got to do. How about beef tri-tip roast untrimmed in the Max Pack? You get select Foster Farms fresh chicken in the Max Pack. Max Pack, baby. Buy one, get one free. Mix and match. Lucky California, the golden state of eating.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
Well, I mean, it's been all Warriors all the time, and tomorrow it gets right back into all Warriors all the time, with it being Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals, baby. Today gave us a breath to take a look around, get into some other things. Obviously, yesterday we tossed the game in a very, very weird way with Steve Kerr's comments, and what if we could live in a in an America where everyone just got along. Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be fantastic if we could talk and reason things out? This is probably way beyond the pale these days. Ray, I don't think you're going to be very optimistic about that.
No, this has been going on way too long, and too many people are dug in too deep. I'm not optimistic about this. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
What if I told you it was time, though, for a What If Wednesday? Would that make you happy?
No, 554 would make me happy.
What if I told you hindsight is always 20/20?
The Minnesota Timberwolves select Stephen Curry.
That everything happens for a reason.
With the first selection in the 2005 NFL draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Aaron Rodgers, quarterback to California.
What if I told you it's time for What If Wednesday?
I tell you, it's been a really long time since we've done one of these. All right, Lucas, what you got?
I know you said we're going to get back to the Warriors tomorrow, but I think if we're doing a What If Wednesday, there's one obvious question you have to ask, and it has to do with the Warriors. Unfortunately, I got to ask this, and then we'll have some fun after. What if the Warriors become the first team ever in the NBA playoffs to blow a 3-0 series lead?
The jokes never end. The jokes go to infinity, and it would be the biggest demerit possible to be cast against them in terms of, do you really want to talk about greatness and where you rank in it? It would be inexcusable.
Yeah, to be two of the four teams to blow a 3-1 lead and then to be the only team to blow a 3-0 lead, it would absolutely, I mean.
It cannot happen. How about that? It would be so devastating to the overall team picture that it cannot happen.
I mean, it gives people an immediate rebuttal to any question about a dynasty. Just an immediate rebuttal. I said, well, gee, they could have won five if they'd paid attention.
How annoying will that Nick Wright appearance be?
You should give him 3 hours and just get out of the way, because he's not going to stop for anybody's interjections.
Just commercial free.
Just, yeah, call him up hours. And say, you get 3 hours. You can do whatever you want.
You're going to need all the Noopy Lucy's that you can pick up from that bodega today. And
oh,
just
he'll
have
be lighting it. The next one with the last one all day long.
just turning the butt over, making it burn down. Yeah, Lucas, wildly depressing. Thank you very much. But it did have to be asked.
Not depressing. It was interesting.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Interesting. Thank
wow,
you, Ray.
Wow.
Get on to the next thing. Oh, we only have 4 minutes left.
As you said, that was not an uplifting question, and it hasn't been the most uplifting of 2 days. So let's try and make it a little bit lighter. Here's your headline of the day. You ready?
Yes.
Dolly Parton to star in a musical on TikTok about Taco Bell's Mexican pizza.
I did not. I had no idea where that was going to go, and I am as confused as I've ever been.
All right, so the what if is if you had to write a musical or if you had to go watch a musical about any food item, fast food or otherwise, what would you be interested in?
Well, wait a minute. We have an incredibly interesting scenario happening with Dolly Parton. We don't need to pivot to some made-up. What the hell is Dolly Parton doing and Mexican pizzas? I did see something about them coming back to Taco Bell. I always thought the Mexican pizza was among the weakest of the menu items.
Wow.
I know that some people are going to be very upset about that, but I never liked the Mexican pizza. Was never the Mexican pizza guy. So I'm surprised they're bringing it back, and I'm surprised that Dolly is involved with a musical on TikTok. She's going to be writing love songs to Mexican pizzas from Taco Bell?
According to her Instagram post, the satirical musical is, quote, based on the true story of the internet losing its mind after the fast food chain removed the product from its menu in late 2020.
So it's by popular public demand it is back.
That's right. And well, this is a musical about that.
No, it isn't due to popular demand, because nobody has ever demanded this. I mean, because if that's it, then forget it. We may as well just sell the place to the Canadians and let them try to sort it out. I mean, unless the goal here is to give Willie Nelson a broader palette in the Taco Bell universe to help him get out of his tax problems, in which case, fine. But other than that, it's one of the worst ideas ever. Might be the worst idea since the Edsel.
Look at it this way. Everything Dolly Parton does, I basically endorse and love. And I'm not even a country music guy. Far from it, as a matter of fact. That sounds nuts. That officially sounds nuts. Dolly Parton musical about the Taco Bell Mexican pizza on TikTok.
On TikTok.
It sounds like, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like we're playing Mad Libs, right?
And exactly
we needed to insert a menu item, a medium, a country singer. That's insane. What are you saying? What novelty food item would I ever write a musical about?
Or be interested enough to go see one?
I mean, the origin story behind the McRib.
Ooh.
I might be interested in that only because they simulate the concept of bones in a rib in the mold of the actual punched out pork-like substance. You know about this, don't you, Ray? You've had a McRib. You've had a McRib.
No, I have not.
No?
No.
Never a McRib?
Never.
What was your McDonald's order?
I was not a McDonald's guy. Largely, shocking. My job when our kids were growing up was to take them to Burger King because they liked the chicken tenders.
Okay.
I didn't partake. I was the mule.
Chicken
so
fries?
In a world of McNuggets, the Rattos were in chicken tenders camp.
You know what? If that's what shut them up, then that's what we did. We weren't interested in nutrition. We were interested in silence.
By the way, I do have a direct connection between myself and a world-famous fast food item. Like if you're playing the 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. The my buddy, Dan Duran, his dad worked at McDonald's corporate CEO. He's from Chicago, Evanston. Got some family money. Good for them. Yes, his name is Dan Duran. The best part is his sister's name is Ann Dan Duran. I kid you not. Anyways, his dad invented the Shamrock Shake for McDonald's. How about that? Are you impressed by this show now?
Special place in hell for that guy.
Are you impressed now?
I'm an
eyelash away from the Shamrock Shake empire, Ray.
Green food coloring in a vanilla shake, and this is like an advancement for society.
They put it in the river in Chicago. That's the green food coloring town.
And there's mint flavoring.
Just a scotch.
God,
a hint.
Right? Hey, it's 5:55. We're going over here.
Are you joking?
Thanks to Nick Wright for joining us today. Sports don't build character, they reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.